come to God with great and joyful praise. We also come to God with all the brokenness in our hearts, in our lives, in our communities, and in our world. Please join with me in the prayer of confession. Holy God, we have to be honest that we aren't exactly begging for the privilege to grow in generosity. Rather than eagerness in our hearts to give, we hoard fearing that there won't be enough for the future. Forgive us for living lives of excess rather than lives of abundance, abundant hope, abundant generosity, abundant love. Your mercy can heal us of every broken place in our lives. And so we ask to be transformed more deeply each day by the power of your forgiveness into people who walk trustingly in your care. Open our hearts and minds, we pray, and help us to share your love. Amen. In every moment of our lives, God's love is present and at work. Be assured that God's tender mercies are at work in your life, and accept God's forgiveness and grace this day. Thanks be to God. At this time, the children are invited to come forward.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Friends, I like to be able to see all of you. Good morning, friends. So I brought something with me this morning, and I need your help trying to figure out what it is. Do you think it's a hat?
No.
How about a frisbee? Do you think the choir could catch?
No, probably not.
A hockey puck, maybe? That'd be an awfully big hockey puck. What do you think this is? A boat. What is this? A bowl? It is shaped like a bowl. Does anyone know what we use this for on Sunday? Yes. Right, to give our money to the church. This is our offering plate. And during worship, every single Sunday, we get to hear all about God's love for us through the stories of the Bible. And one of the ways that we respond to those stories is to take all the blessings that God has given us through money, through time, through the special ways that we can help serve others, and to give it back to God. And so during the offering at church, it's a very joyful time. The organ plays, and we pass the plate throughout the pews, grateful and thankful for all the gifts God has given us and that we can use them to help others. Do you guys help others? Yeah? At school, with your friends? We do all sorts of things here at church to help others too. We help serve the hungry, and we help care for the sick and those who need help, those who are kind of sad. How do you guys help those people who are sad? Do you give people hugs? Listen to them when they've got troubles? You guys also can take part in giving thanks to God for all the many blessings in the ways which you love others. So, at the end of the month, when you all are in worship the whole time for Fusion Sunday, when this comes and passes you, can I hand this to you? Yes? Can you pass it around? Just pass it around. I want you to hold that plate, and I want you to think of one way you can be thankful to God and help others. Will that work? All right. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we are thankful. Oh, wait, hold on a second. God likes interruptions. Not thankful, quiet. Thankful, joyful. Can you do that with me? So it kind of sounds like this. We are thankful. Ready? So let's try again. Dear God, we are thankful.
We are thankful.
Amen. Great job. Amen. All right, you all can go to Sunday school now or sit back with your parents. Thank you for my hat back. Want it as a hat?
Me too.
The first reading today is from Psalm 145, verses 1 through 5 and 17 through 21. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak in praise of the Lord. Let every creature praise his holy name forever and ever.
Second reading this morning comes from Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that has been granted to the churches of Macedonia. For during a severe ordeal of affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For as I can testify, they voluntarily gave according to their means, and even beyond their means, begging us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. And this, not merely as we expected. They gave themselves first to the Lord, and by the will of God to us, so that we might urge Titus that as he had already made a beginning, so he should also complete this generous undertaking. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you, so we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I don't say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you, who began last year, not only to do something, but even to desire to do something. Now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of fair balance between your present abundance and their need. In order that there may be a fair balance, for as it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. In her new book, Stitches, my favorite author, Anne Lamott, shares a story told by her pastor about a helpful sparrow. A war horse came upon this particular sparrow lying in the street, with her legs pointed bravely straight up in the air. And the war horse asked, "What on earth are you doing?" And the sparrow replied, "I heard the sky was falling, and I wanted to help." Sardonically, the horse laughed loudly and said, "Do you really think you're going to hold back the sky with those scrawny little legs?" After a pause, the sparrow said, "One does what one can." I love that story. And having spent most of my teenage years bearing the nickname Chicken Legs, I empathize with this scrawny-legged feathered friend. Now, though most of the time the sky is not really falling, it often feels as though it is. And sometimes it really is, at least what we have known as the sky. And some of us spend a great deal of time focusing on the negativity of that message. So we might rather assume the position of a long-necked ostrich with our heads buried firmly in the sand. Some of us might hear the prediction that the sky is falling and nod in agreement and follow that natural psychological reaction to threat with a general discharge of sympathetic nervous system, otherwise known as fight or flight. And some of us, like that extraordinary sparrow, simply do what we can. It also fascinates me
that all of these reactions seem to manifest themselves at any given time when a church starts talking about money. And it probably doesn't help that just about any stewardship sermon, campaign, or conversation among church members and committees inevitably finds a way to focus on all the different ways the sky, or here at GPC, the roof, is falling. And no need to hang your head if you've been part of those conversations. Unlike Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, it's not my style to shame people into giving. The sky is falling message is one that we are constantly bombarded with in our everyday lives. Think about the headlines. Unemployment ticks up again this month. The child poverty rate rises as food assistance programs are cut. Companies, cities, and entire countries in bankruptcy. Ballooning debt, shrinking retirement portfolios. These are all numbers that in many ways we can't even begin to get our brains around. And the never-ending message that the world, or at least our country, will come to an end if we aren't constantly buying stuff promised to keep economic security and personal self-worth going. These messages inevitably find their way into the life of the church. And so we start hearing things like, the sky is falling. We don't have enough members. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough volunteers. We better figure out a way to get more. But there's another voice, if we dare to listen, heard most clearly through the pages of Scripture. Where the world says that the sky is falling, this voice says, I am the Lord of sea and sky. Where the world says, you are in this alone, the voice says, I hear your cries and save you. Where the world says, hold on tight to what is yours, this voice says, open your hands and let me fill them. Where the world says, you never have enough, this voice says, give all you have, not what you don't. Where the world says riches are measured by bank accounts and accumulations of goods and stuff, this voice says you are rich in everything, in faith, in speaking, in knowledge, in truly wanting to help, and in the love you have learned from me. Paul writes to the churches, to the Christians in Corinth, lifting up the example of the churches in Macedonia as a model for how they and how we understand the use of resources, time and money, talents and attention. As truly a reflection of what we believe about God and God's actions in the world. Paul wants the Corinthians' actions to be a reflection of the gospel in which they believe. And all of this started with Paul's commitment to the church in Jerusalem. The collection that he speaks of is for a service for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem, provided generously by the churches in Macedonia and Corinth and Galatia, and possibly others. Apparently, this collection was a massive undertaking, not only because the need for money was so great, but because the church in Jerusalem also represented the fragile unity between the Jews and the Gentiles in one community as followers of Christ. Paul was passionate that the body of Christ remain united. And nowhere was this unity in such jeopardy as it was in Jerusalem. The Christians in Corinth have committed themselves to the unity of the church and also to those who are poor in Jerusalem. And what they're struggling with a bit is, how do we work that out in a practical way? And so Paul does what any good pastor would do, and he redirects their complications and confusion and overthinking this a bit back to the basics of their faith. He says, it begins with grace. The grace of God granted to the churches in Macedonia, in Corinth, in Jerusalem, and to all the people in every time and place. The divine economy of the household of God is one based in the abundance and goodness of God's grace and love for all God's creation. According to theologian Frederick Buechner, grace is something you can never get, but only be given. For Christians, the model for our economics is God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. In verse 9, Paul writes that, "For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." When we believe that all that we have and all that we are and all that we can be is rooted first and foremost in what God has done, is doing, and ever will do, our actions give a very different voice to the ones that say, hang on tight to all that you have because there may not be any more. Paul describes this voice, this action of the churches in Macedonia as eagerness. And if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable to what one has, not according to what one does not have. And this image came to my mind hearing this passage as a very different one than what we normally experience when we talk about money or stewardship in the life of the church. I know most folks are pretty reluctant, believing money to be a personal matter. And in some cases, talking about money brings guilt or shame about not having enough or not giving enough according to what one does not have. Thinking about that church in Macedonia, the one that's gone through severe, severe ordeal and affliction, living in extreme poverty, and they are the ones begging earnestly for the privilege of sharing in this ministry to the saints. Can you imagine a month ago when the stewardship letter and card went out? People running to church, pounding on the door, "Please let me give! I have it! Here it is!" But for whatever reason, this card doesn't solicit that kind of response in the life of folks. But I know that we all can imagine that eagerness to give, because we've experienced it. Last week, a group of us went for the very first time down to Salem, United Church of Christ in the city, to serve a hot meal to those who are hungry and living in the kind of poverty that Paul describes with the churches in Macedonia. Now, there are many folks who will pass through that historic building at Salem and who will leave with a stomach filled of warm food and possibly never come back again. But then there are those like Steve, a Vietnam veteran, who started to come to Salem for a meal. And he began to see that being a recipient is not the end of it all, His disability did not allow him to serve food, but he found a way to give back. Steve sits at one of the doors and welcomes guests in. Talking to Steve, I found out that he didn't worry if what he was giving back was good enough, or big enough, or important enough. He shared with me his belief that because he experienced the grace of God through the community of folks who welcomed him and shared a hot meal with him, he wanted to be able to share that feeling with others. Steve shows up every Monday with this great big smile on his face, eager to give according to what he's got. Some might think that Steve is making about as big of an impact on world hunger as that scrawny-legged sparrow holding back the sky. And where the world would say these are terribly depressing stories of defeat, as Christians, we are invited to hear the stories of God's grace at work in the world. It's in the grace of giving, always foremost and without exception, the grace of giving as a direct result of that first gift, ourselves being given to the Lord. And as we give of our gifts, as we follow where Jesus leads, the love, the mercy, the grace of God will flow abundantly through our hands and through our hearts, so that the world, the troubled, the hurting, the sky is falling world, will both in great and small ways experience the riches of God. And that is what this morning, and indeed every day of our lives, is about. Not meeting a budget, or listening to voices that say we don't have enough. It's about the opportunity we have for our giving to be a reflection of the gospel in which we believe. Thanks be to God. time, we are all invited to bring our prayers of joy and our prayers of concern before God and our community gathered. If you have a prayer you'd like to share out loud, raise your hand and the ushers will be around with a microphone.
Good morning, Eric Vail. With tomorrow being Veterans Day, I just thought maybe as many other people would like to say thank you to those among us here today for your service, and thanks to those around the world for what you've done to protect us. And God bless.
Amen.
Ed Coons, back in August, my mother broke her leg at a Presbyterian home, and since then she's been in Highland Hospital with pneumonia and the Episcopal home rehabbing, and she's getting to the end of her journey. What we don't know is she going to make it back into assisted living, or is she going to have to go on to long-term care in a nursing home? So the next couple of weeks are going to decide that, and it's really too close to call right now. So we need all your prayers as she works through this difficult time in her life. The end of December, actually December 23rd, she'll be 88, so it's a real struggle for her. So all your prayers, please. Thank you.
Prayers for your mom, Ed, and your family as well.
Velter Rushan, last Sunday I asked you all for prayers for a very dear friend of mine who has brain cancer. She went through surgery on Tuesday, and she's doing very well. On Friday night, another friend of mine and my circle friends announced to us that she has breast cancer and will have a mastectomy in the coming 2 weeks. So I ask for your prayers for my circle friends, that we be the support that we need to be to our friends and also to ourselves. Thank you.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Good morning. Meredith Shaw. My father-in-law was very badly injured in an ATV hunting accident. He flipped the vehicle, unfortunately. He wound up with 3 spinal fractures and 1 in his sternum. Thanks be to God through prayers. They are all injuries that will heal over time, but he's going to have a very difficult recovery. So I ask for continued prayers.
Thank you.
My math teacher is having a baby boy soon. So.
Prayers of joy, Tommy, for your teacher.
I'd like prayers for my sister, Cheryl Bottaglia, and her husband, Frank. His mother passed away Saturday. Prayers for them. And also prayers for my husband's dad, Charles Schott, as he's going through health battles.
Oh, Lord, hear our prayers. And we have prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for a sister's birthday. Prayers for playing the Star Spangled Banner at the Amherst game. Apparently there are lots of birthdays, lists and lists of birthdays that our children are celebrating with their friends and their family this week. Let us continue our time of prayer. Almighty God, we come to you today in confidence, for this world in which we live is your world, brought into being through your love for all your people. And as we bring all our joys and concerns before you, we know that you are waiting to hear us and to respond. Lord, we pray that you will teach all of us how to provide for our lives and for the lives of those around us. Lord, help us make this church a place of generosity, where people work together, giving all that they have and all that they are, so the wonderful resources that you have blessed us with can be used to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked,
to visit the imprisoned and comfort the sick and the dying. God, we pray today for people who wander through life, who are seeking a purpose, a reason for living. We especially remember those who store up wealth for themselves, believing that the road to happiness is through the accumulation of possessions. God, help us to find in you the love and acceptance and wholeness we hunger for. God, we pray for those whose lives have been radically altered by the loss of a loved one, recent cancer diagnosis, the loss of a job, a strain in a relationship. We offer prayers for Clarine Kress and Sue Mancini and Jen Tuttle. We also pray for the demolition and the heartbreak left in the wake of Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines. We also lift up in prayer to you this morning our nation's veterans. We are grateful to all those who have served, whether in peacetime or conflict. But today we especially remember those who have been tempered by the fire, those who continue to bear wounds of the body or the spirit as a result of what they endured. They lie in our veterans' hospitals or struggle for recovery in rehabilitation centers. They suffer from post-traumatic stress and survivor's guilt. God, how they yearn for peace in their soul. And we ask that you heal their wounds and give them the peace so they may return fully to their families. God, strengthen our resolve to build a world modeled on your realm, where war will be pursued no more. God, we make our prayers as part of our common life of worship and service to Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. In your hands, or soon to be in your hands, is your pledge card. You can get those out. Your morning offering. And if you don't have either of those pieces of paper to hang on to, that's okay too. Hold your hands open for just a moment. And I want you to prayerfully, we're going to take just a few moments of silence before we engage in the joyful celebration of offering these gifts back to God. But we're going to take just a moment for you, for me, for all of us together in community to ask God for God's blessing. All of the blessings in which we have received today, over the last week, month, year, lifetime, and to say a silent prayer of thanksgiving for those blessings. And now take a moment to imagine all of the ways in which our money, our time, our gifts, our energy can be used to serve others in this world. I'm going to take just another few moments of silence. Imagine, dream with God how these gifts can be used to serve others. Holy God, you have blessed us abundantly. There are so many ways in which we can dream with you to share these gifts of grace with one another and this world to serve you. God, accept our joyful offerings of thanks and praise for the ways in which you work in our life. Amen. treatment. You're invited to come forward. There are baskets for you to place. Yes, everything. Offering, pledge card. And if you would like to just come forward, touch the basket as a symbolic way that of your commitment to God and the gifts of time and energy, please do so. You don't have to have paper to drop to come forward. If you have mobility concerns, remember an usher will come around and receive your offering and pledge. Let us give thanks to God. A joy and honor it is to participate with you in the abundance of giving, of sharing with one another your grace. God, as we go out into this world, help us to find ways to continue the generous acts of sharing with our neighbors and with those in need. We give our thanks and praise. Amen.
and may we go from this place filled with the melodies of grace that sing from each of our souls, with the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit to keep following each and every day. Alleluia. Amen.